We bought a house that had woods on it, you know, had big trees. And in a backyard, man, we had a beautiful oak tree. It was a water oak, so they don't last as long as the live oaks. And so this water oak, it was a fun tree, man. It was getting to be the perfect size. We put tree swings. Remember our tire swings we had? I'd take you guys, and oh, man, I didn't throw them like regular dads, man. We had extreme tire swings, and we'd even put boards on them and make boards and all kinds. We had all kinds of I cleaned hogs on them. It was right outside of Ashley's window. I'm there one night. I had already just caught harvested a hog, like how I said that, and I threw it on top of the surf racks. It was down in Palm City, and I drove it all the way home like that. I didn't get any reactions. I couldn't see the reactions of the other drivers, but I did it on a regular basis. I brought it home, hung it up in there, and I skinned it all out, and I cut the head off and had the skin, and Ashley's light was on. So I stuck the head on my head, and I had the cape, and I knocked on her window, and she looked out, and so if you wonder why she's scarred, that's just one little incident. But I thought it was a great idea as a dad. I mean, come on, man. And so great memories in that tree. And unbeknownst to me, man, all of a sudden, a little teeny hairy vine, yes, a hairy vine, started creeping up that tree. And I didn't really even pick it out. I didn't really know what was going on. Because by the time I saw it, it was now probably a hairy vine about a quarter inch in diameter. And all of a sudden, a hairy vine just started climbing up the tree. And I was busy. I didn't have time to do that. Man, I'm busy being a dad, you know, a good dad, right? You know, with the hogs and all that stuff, right? And before I knew it, that hairy vine got to be about an inch thick. And that hairy vine now started spreading into my yard and up to every single plant that was in my backyard. And as it went up the tree, it now branched out. I even took machetes and I cut the hairy vine off at, you know, where it didn't have access to the root thing. And well, that'll cut all of it off from the tree. Little did I know, and you guys who know about plants maybe tell me different, but I know from my experience what happened. It didn't kill the vine. I cut it off. It had no access to the root, but evidently it was just sucking the life out of that tree. And that tree was covered with this hairy vine. And my yard was now covered with a hairy vine. And every single plant in my yard, all the way around my what I have is a beautiful jungle, was covered with a hairy vine. One day, Pittsburgh Rob, I was hoping Pittsburgh Rob would be here. He's not here. Is he here? No, no, we see Pittsburgh Rob. Well, Pittsburgh Rob, out of the goodness of his heart, one time, notice I say one time, he came over to my house and said, I'm going to help you clean up your yard. And he's like, what are we going to do? I said, well, I got this vine I got to pull out. Well, he shows up and he's from Pittsburgh. And I don't think they have hairy vines like that in Pittsburgh. But he came back and we're pulling this vine off my tree. We're pulling the vine, big vine. We're pulling it. We're carrying it out to the yard. We're chopping it up. And Pittsburgh Rob all of a sudden asked me, he said, hey, what is this hairy vine? And I said, oh, it's poison oak. And he's like, are you allergic to it? I said, not yet. He said, well, I think I am. And he said, I have to go in the restroom. Can I go in the house? I'm like, yeah, yeah. And he went in the restroom. He comes back out with his phone. Tell me if you've ever done this to somebody. Come back. Oh, hey, I just got a phone call and I have to leave. And I got something that came up right now. Dude, just tell me. I don't want to touch your hairy vine. I don't want to be infected by it. Whatever. But anyway, so Pittsburgh Rob left and he never came back out of the goodness of his heart to help me clean up my hairy vine again. But guess what? That hairy vine, it was poison oak. And it was started as just a little teeny tiny vine, ended up taking over my whole yard. And we eventually had to get this tree taken down. In fact, there was a time where you could look on Google Earth and all you saw was the tree. You didn't even see the top of my house. But all of a sudden, those branches were dying, and they were falling on our roof. They were falling through the pool screen. They were ruining everything. It's like they didn't have life anymore. What used to be such a vibrant, beautiful tree just got the life sucked out of it by a little hairy vine that grew and became a big hairy vine, and it multiplied, and that hairy vine spread to everything, and it was killing everything. Well, guess what? I actually went out in my backyard this morning. And you know what I didn't see? A hairy vine. Because right before COVID, we got the tree cut down. It was messing everything up. It had to come down. And in fact, this hairy vine, it hindered the guys who were actually cutting the tree down. They were like, we've never seen this much hairy vine on a tree. You notice I'm repeating the word. What am I repeating all the time? What are the two words? Hairy vine. I want you to have hairy vine just drilled into your head today for a reason. Hey, man, they were getting a rash from the hairy vine, carrying it out to the curb. And when they were putting it in the chipper, dude, they're chipping up hairy vine. And it's like, man, it infiltrated everything. It took a beautiful, beautiful tree and took it down. It was one of the main reasons this tree had a premature life. And it came down. But now that we don't have that tree, and last year I had to get rid of 5 gallons of old gas, so I poured it on it, and JJ helped me like light that. Don't ever do that. JJ had a water hose, and just as it was coming at me, JJ's going, it was like, but guess what? I'm here, he's here, we won't do it again. But if y'all have a good way of getting rid of 5 gallons of gas that you didn't use in last year's generator, let me know, all right? I'm not doing that again. But I'm just saying, man, it took taking that tree down to not have the hairy vine there anymore. We're in the part of the Lord's Prayer where we're talking about pardon. We're talking about forgiveness. And we talked about this a lot on Wednesday night. So those of you who were there in Wednesday night's Bible study, you're going to hear a lot of the same thing, but the Holy Spirit's going to bring some new stuff. I guarantee it. I promise, because he's the Holy Spirit. And so, man, what I saw, what God showed me is that unforgiveness starts out like a little hairy vine. I have seen unforgiveness break up everything in this world that can be broken up. I have seen people leave church after church after church after church because they have been offended at every single church. And you know what? I'm going to tell you that the more you're with people, the more offenses there are going to be in your life. I have seen people leave marriage after marriage after marriage because they want me to marry them for the 18th time. And when I sit down with them and I say, what was your fault in the first one, then the second one, and the third one? What, my fault? You don't know what that woman was like or that guy. I'm like, it doesn't matter. What was your fault? What was the hairy vine that got in there? It was bitterness. There was unforgiveness. And so, man, Emily and Skylar, y'all been married. Where's Skylar at, man? He ain't here today? Oh, well, so did you think marriage was going to solve all your problems of never having to forgive anybody because now you met the perfect person that you guys were never going to fight and there would never be any issues? And how many of y'all got married thinking that, right? Yeah. But how many of y'all found, y'all are still newlyweds, but how many of y'all found out the more time you spend with somebody, the more opportunities you have to be offended? That's even what Scripture says. It doesn't say, it says we bring offenses into this world. There are offenses when our flesh takes over, when our flesh dominates. So the more we're together, the more offenses we're going to have, whether it's in a marriage, whether it's in church, whether it's with your kids, whether it's at your work. And people keep changing locations, changing relationships because they keep being offended. Guess what? You're going to get intimate in another thing and you're going to be offended again and again and again. So what I'm going to tell you is it's not the other person's offense. That's not the problem. What the problem is that you have a forgiveness issue. If you cannot forgive and you don't understand what true Christian forgiveness is, you are going to be offended your entire life and you are going to be a bitter person. And what used to be a beautiful oak tree, you start out with a little hairy vine and every single beautiful oak tree you're a part of, man, it all of a sudden it's got to be cut down because it's messed up. It's not the offense. You've got to take care of that little hairy vine when it starts out as a little hairy vine before it destroys things. Bitterness, unforgiveness, it has destroyed everything there is to destroy, and it's the only thing that separates Christianity from every other religion. Christianity is based on, it is built on, it equips you with the ability to be able to forgive. No other religion can offer that. Only Christ can, and he showed us what it was like when he forgave us. So we're going to go into Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn in there, we don't have it up on the screen, but it's just a couple of verses. And again, you remember, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father represented our what? I'm not going to preach on it again, especially if you remember the P words. Help me out. Come on. Our Father is our what? Our position as a child of God. Not everybody comes in the world as a child of God. You need to be born again to be a child of God. That's our position, which art in heaven. That is his power. In heaven, there is no power that you're going to ever need on this earth that is not able to be supplied through heaven. And you have access to that through your position as a child of God. When you think of that, hallowed be thy name, that is what? Praising him. Kathy, I was looking for it. Praising him, right? Yeah, because when you think about that you're a child of God and you have access to anything you would ever need to do God's will, you have no choice but to just praise him when you truly understand that. Thy kingdom come, that is God's what? His plan. He has a plan. We'll talk a little bit more because I like talking about his plan. It's going to come up in this passage here, so we won't hit it too much. But God has a plan. It's an eternal plan. Nobody can stop it. Next thing is the rapture for us. After the rapture of 7 years, we will be in a wedding feast, and we are the bride. After the 7 years, we'll have 1,000 years on an Eden-like planet, 1,000 years. Can you imagine the waves, Eric, on 1,000 years on an Eden-like planet? Man, and then after the 1,000 years, we have heaven and earth for eternity, a brand new heaven and earth. That's just his plan. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven is what? Your purpose in his plan. The only reason he left you here when he saved you is thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You're to do his will the same way they do it here on the earth. I mean, in heaven. Nobody sins in heaven, so we strive for that here. What do you want me to do, God, now to do it? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread is what? Our provisions. He wants us to ask daily, moment by moment, for provisions to fulfill our purpose in his plan. Amen? And then it says, forgive me my trespasses, sins. Forgive me as I forgive others. So who does the forgiveness have to begin with? Is it the hairy vines that God puts in your life? Or is it you? It's got to start with you. Forgive me, because you're not going to be able to forgive others until you understand how much forgiveness you need yourself. When you don't understand the forgiveness that you need, you're going to have an awful hard time forgiving others of what you need to forgive them. And so that's why he says, forgive me my sins so I can forgive those. You remember the story Jesus had about the dude with the big beam in his eye? You know, get rid of the beam in your own eye before you start messing with the splinter in everybody else's eye. How many of y'all want somebody with a big beam in their eye coming to help you with a splinter in yours? No, man, it's not a good eye doctor. My eye doctor has that problem. I'm going to another eye doctor, you know? So we're in this pardon section. We've done 2 weeks of it. And this is the last week, I believe. JJ, did you like getting the, JJ's up here? Anyways, I didn't wake y'all up when I sent the outline at like 4 o'clock this morning. 4:30, yeah. All right. God woke me up, said, here's the outline. I said, boom, here it is. 4:30, ding. You should like not have, I don't even have a buzzer or any kind of notification for my text. Know that. If you text me, I have no notification for that. Call me, I got a ringer. All right, I'm just old school. But pardon, so here we go. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 through 32. And so he starts off, we could go through all of Ephesians, we've preached through Ephesians, but we're taking this little passage here. And the very first thing when he talks about When Paul's talking to the church at Ephesus about forgiveness, he's talking about living like a believer in all of it. That's what the whole chapter's about. You know, here's all you have, chapters 1, 2, and 3. Chapter 4 in Ephesians is, now, dude, here's how you use it. And he goes through a whole list. You can read that on your own. But when you get down towards the end, he says this. He says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. So living like you are lost grieves God. I want you to get that. When we live like lost people, we grieve God. When we live like we don't have a Savior, when we live like we don't have a home in heaven, when we live like it's all about right here, it's all about this situation and this relationship and this problem and this season of life and this activity, when we live about from moment to moment here in our own flesh, we grieve the Holy Spirit. He wants us to know we have an eternal home, we are set, and while we are here right now, the reason he didn't take us to heaven, when we got, how many of y'all would have dug it if he took you to heaven when you got saved? How many of y'all would have been, yoo-hoo! Sherry, no back issues then, man, right? And Charlie, oh, y'all are like the back buddies there, man. I'm just saying, man, no issues. How many of y'all think it would have been awesome if he took you to heaven when you got saved? Wouldn't that be great? How many of y'all who are shaking your head have led somebody to Christ? How many of y'all think those people would have thought it would have been awesome for you to get taken to heaven when you got saved? You see, he's got a purpose for us. He leaves us here to share the gospel. He leaves us here to live for him. That's what it means to be a witness. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 1:8. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive power to be a witness here, there, and everywhere. In every situation he puts you in, he will give you power to do it his way. And so when it's ready, when he's ready for you to go, you will go. So while we're here, we need to live like we're believers. We need to live like we have the resurrection power inside us. We need to live like we have God Almighty living inside us. And so I'm telling you, living like you are lost, living like a lost person grieves God. Look at the scripture in verse 30 here. Here's what Paul says in these last few verses. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. I have heard so many messages on, well, that, again, I was listening to a message on this, and the guy was saying, man, up on the big screen, you know, like big churches, they have like, you know, big nurseries, and they have your little number down there if your baby's messing up. And it was like, please turn your cell phone off so you don't grieve the Holy Spirit. please go get your kids so you don't grieve the Holy Spirit. It's like anything disturbs something is grieving the Holy Spirit in here. Well, he's going to tell us what really grieving the Holy Spirit is. And in a nutshell, grieving the Holy Spirit is you living like a lost person. Living like you don't have a heavenly father and a relationship with him with all the provisions you would ever need to fulfill his your purpose and his plan. Living like you don't have an eternal plan, like you're not part of something. How many of y'all are pretty stoked about our eternal plan? Anybody? Dude, Marley, I know, man, you just got this old 1927 Blazer Bronco combo thing from Chuck, man. He's had the greatest first. Dude, Marley's driving in. What a perfect first vehicle. I know you're not, and you got a girlfriend. You probably ain't ready to go to heaven yet. But if you were in heaven, would you be digging it? Yeah, look at her and say, I love heaven more than you. No, don't say it. No, but literally. Oh, no, Jesus can't come back. I ain't got married yet. Jesus can't come back. I got a wedding, right, Sam? Jesus can't come back. And I know you're not saying that, but dude, we know that it's all set. It's all done. Do you have any problems? Serena, do you have any problems? No, you don't have any problems. You know where you got problems? Right here, and right here. Scripturally, you got no problems. You understand there's no bad news in God's economy? When we see life from his perspective, we see it from ours, oh my goodness, how many problems you got? You got two right next to you, and you got a big one right there. Holy smoke, you got problems. Unless you're walking in the Spirit. Romans 8:28, we know. What? Help me out with this. We know that all things work together for those who love God. How many of y'all love God? Do you love God? You ain't got no problems. It's all working together to make you more like Christ. How many opportunities a day are you getting to become more like Christ living with these folks? Lots, yes. You got to see it from that perspective. Man, we know that all things work together for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. I already told you got a purpose to do right now what you're going to be doing in heaven, which is God's will on a moment-by-moment basis. And the next verse says, the purpose, because we've been predestined, all that word means is that our end destiny is going to be like Christ. Every one of you are going to look like Christ spiritually. That's the goal. So we know there's no problems. God allowed this in our life to please him through faith. He allowed this in our life so that we could become more like Christ through it. And we become more like Christ, then he gets glory. Because when Mac acts like Christ, how about Pastor Eddie? When Pastor Eddie acts like Christ, it's like, that ain't Pastor Eddie, that's God. And it's the same way in your life. So we got no problems, man. And that's what he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Do you understand everything that comes in your life is there? Nothing. Hey, how many of y'all remember the old King James when it said you were supposed to become a peculiar person? Anybody remember that? Peculiar person. How many of y'all how many of your parents used that as a verse to make you dress like a dork? You know what I'm saying? How many of your parents made it so you can't do this, man? You're a peculiar person. Well, yeah, you're making me a peculiar person, right? In the sense, but you know what that word peculiar means? Literally in the Greek, it means to be encompassed. It means that you're encompassed by God, and it means nothing's coming in your life unless he has a purpose for it. And you are on tune with him, and you are listening to him, and you understand there's a purpose. Lost people have no purpose except to survive and hopefully get saved. But your purpose, man, is to glorify God because he's custom designing this stuff for you. How many of y'all had a peculiar situation this week? Do you know he cut? Every one of y'all should have either that or y'all were just like coma dead, brain dead. I'm saying is, God custom picked that situation for you, Ann. Of all the people, I was telling somebody this week, but it was like, dude, you know how lucky you are? They were telling me about their situation. I said, you're lucky. You know what? God Almighty, he picked that situation out specifically for you. You know all the people in the world he could have put in that situation, Bill Cooper? All the people he could have put in, who did he choose to put in? You and Barb. And by the way, I want to hear the rest of the boat story later, but that's been an interesting two-year snowbird season story. But look at Bill Cooper's smile on his face. And Barb, it hasn't left his face. No, don't lie in church. Barb's only had to kick him under the table a couple of times. But it's been awesome to watch you guys grow spiritually through this story. Look, everything that comes in, God, I can't wait to hear your stories every week. Thank you for keeping us updated. And we get tired of them, we'll let you know. No, but we're not. I'm joking. No, we need to keep hearing these stories. And if God's doing nothing else through your life, he's using you during the joy bucket to encourage somebody else here. You know? And we're his. He's the potter. We're the clay. We're the picture, man. He's the artist. We gave it all up to him at salvation. So in this, man, in Ephesians, he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You want to know what grieving the Holy Spirit is? It's when you get all upset and messed up over something God has custom designed in your life that's supposed to bring you joy eventually. Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when what? Different kinds of tests come into your life. Count it joy because it's going to build endurance. It's going to build strength. And you're going to be complete and needing nothing. That's what the stepbrother of Jesus said. After not believing in him for all of his life, having the perfect brother and not believing in him. And then at the resurrection saying, oh, and now he's remembering everything and he's writing it down for us. So man, don't grieve the Holy Spirit by living like a lost person. If you're saved, dude, you got the Holy Spirit living in you. You have all the Holy Spirit there is, but he doesn't have all of you. And that's why God's bringing those situations in your life so you can learn to trust him more. You can have the comforter walking alongside you, the paraclete. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Don't offend the Holy Spirit of God. You know, Andy, you're like, hey, girls, you guys want to go out to dinner? You know, let's go out to dinner. Okay. Do your girls worry about the bill? No, they don't. In fact, you're like thinking, dude, y'all ain't drink water today at this restaurant, right? These are $8 sodas, man. But you're not worried. They're not worried about the bill. But what would happen if all of a sudden your girls, you're at the restaurant and they're ordering and like, dad, you know, are you sure we can like pay for this? Dad, are we allowed to eat tonight? Yeah. And again, we've been in situations like that. That's why y'all drank water when y'all were kids. But I'm just saying, but can you, would that not be an insult if somebody gave you a gift certificate? You had a gift certificate and your girls are to pay. Dude, we got unlimited. We have hundreds of dollars at Outback or whatever. And it's like, your girls are like, Dad, I don't know if we can count on that. Dad, we better just, Dad, let's just eat scraps that are under the table today, okay? And we'll drink water, and then we'll run out before we have to order, okay, Dad? Would that grieve you? It would grieve you because you're like, no, girls, look, we have a certificate. It says we can order this much food, and it's good, and it's based on the official signed it. And they're like, no, Dad, I don't trust it. I just don't trust it. Dad, I can't. Dad, we can't. And we have promises from God just like that. But when we don't trust him, in the same way, Andy would be grieved, like, come on, I wanted our family to have a great meal. We're here. We've got the certificate. It's guaranteed. No, Dad, I just don't trust that it's going to pay the bill. I just don't trust they're going to accept it. I don't trust that it's going to work out. Stop. Just order. No, we can't, Dad. I just can't do it because I don't think it's going to work out. How many times do we do that with God? God just says, do it. God says, I got it. Here's what I paid. Here's what I've done. Here's what I promised. And we're like, yeah, I just, you know what, God, I don't think so. That's what grieves the Holy Spirit when you act like you are not saved and you don't appreciate the situation that he's got you in and the direction he's heading you because it's not where you want to be. So don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Look at this. By whom you were what? What's the next word? Help me out. Oh, you don't have a screen today. Oh, sorry, man. All right. By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You were sealed for the day of redemption. So yeah, isn't that great, Ben? I know that stuck out to you on Wednesday, man. And so you are, the Holy Spirit has sealed you for the day of redemption. So how many of y'all are saved? Let me see your hand. You know you're saved. You know you're going to heaven when you die. But how many of y'all looked in the mirror and said, I sure don't look like a child of God today. Yesterday, I didn't act like a child of God. I don't feel like a child of God. I don't, you know, that's what John said. John said, we are the children of God. He said, we are the children, we are sons of God. He said, but I know it doesn't appear so. That's good news to me, because there's a lot of days I don't feel like it, act like it, smell like it, taste like it, whatever it is. There's a lot of days he said, we are the children of God. But when we see him, we will become just like him. So man, that's the day of redemption. The day of redemption is not the day you got saved. Day of redemption is the day you become just like Jesus. How many of you would say right now, well, no, Pastor, I have arrived. Some of y'all, I've watched some of y'all. Y'all haven't, but I have arrived. And I am just like God today. Can I see any of your hand? Anybody? Don't be ashamed if that's you. How many of y'all don't ever even think that way? Because that's not you. You aren't what you are going to be. We're in a process. We're in a process called sanctification. You know, John says, yeah, we are God's children. We're making progress in this sanctification of looking more and more like, how many of y'all would say, I act more and more like God than I did when I first got saved? Yeah, you should. That's the process. He changes your desires and takes other ones away. And so in that, man, John says, he said, I am this, but it sure don't look like it. But when I see him face to face, we will be just like him. And that's the day of redemption. And if you are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, is there anyone who can take that away from you? Is there any, Matt, we talked about before church, are you, yes, there is no way possible that I'm going to hell. There's no way. I can't. Absolutely no possible way that's in the picture anywhere. And in the same confidence, there is no way possible that I am not going to be just like Christ. In the end, it's a guaranteed done deal, but that's what I'm going to be like. So he says the whole beginning of forgiveness has to start there. You have to understand who you are, what your purpose on this planet is, and then it starts dictating how you behave and how you act in situations, how you view things. So he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And by the way, who is the Holy Spirit? God, yes. By whom you were sealed. So who sealed you? Who put a bubble on you and said, they're mine? Who sealed you? God. God Almighty, the one that knows everything, the one that can do anything, and the one that's everywhere. Who better to guarantee your eternity and your future? Can anyone mess it up? Marley, can anyone? You're sealed by God because you gave your life to Christ, right? And you and Abby are getting baptized on Easter Sunday, right? All right, cool, man. And anybody else? We got a few others that are going to get baptized too, but if you want to get baptized at Sunrise Service, you're welcome to do that. God sealed you. Who, can anybody mess that up, Marley? How about you? Can you mess it up? You ever think you can? Yeah, you can't. That's why you need the faith in the promise of God to know you cannot. Now, you can do things. What happens when you, is there anything you can do to not be your mother's daughter? I mean, your mother's son, sorry. Woo, we're not going there. Now. She was looking like, wait a minute, he had conversations with you I didn't know about, but anyway. Is there anything you could ever do to not be your mother's son? No, forever, it's done. It's a done deal. Can you mess that up? No. Now, can you do things that she's not going to approve of? And what's going to happen if you do things she's not going to approve of? Yeah, she's coming down on you, right? Same way as a child of God. You can be disciplined, and you can even be disciplined all the way to death. But there's nothing you can do to mess up God's plan. You're not big enough. You're not powerful enough. It's God's plan. John, is that good news? Yes, because there are people. I'm not saying you're, I am saying you're one of them. Just like me. Dude, we could have met, if anybody could mess up God's plan, don't you think we could have done it? I mean, we can't. It's there. We're set. So he says in the beginning, for forgiveness, you've got to understand why you're here. Understand God's plan. Understand it's not about your feelings. It's not about your thoughts and not about your will. Those are the things we have to continually fight when they are contrary to the word of God. You go back to the armor of God, and every bit of it fights your feelings, your will, your desires of what you want, and your thoughts, because those are the things that this world appeals to. And if it ever, any of those or all of them ever go against the word of God, by faith, you have to fight those and believe what God's word says. Amen? Yeah. So do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So there is absolutely no way I'm ever going to hell, buddy, because I am sealed by God Almighty. How about you? Is that not good news? Does that bring a smile to your face? Y'all look like a bunch of sour, pickle-sucking-faced Christians right now. I'm just saying, but no, that should bring a smile. We're there. There's nothing we can do to mess this up. Now, here's what we can do to mess up our life here. A bitter root produces poisonous fruit. So if you ever lit a little hairy vine in and you let it grow, and you know what? We're good at hiding it. We think, but man, a bitter root produces poisonous fruit. Look at this next verse here. Let all bitterness, and this word bitterness in the Greek is actually literally talking about a root. It's actually talking about poisonous fruit. When that word bitterness is talking about poisonous fruit, that's what's going to come from it. It's a hairy vine that's going to take over everything. It's going to, what used to be something beautiful that people admired and looked after, you let a little teeny root of bitterness in and you feed it, it can destroy that. How many of you have ever seen that happen in somebody's life? Not yours, obviously, but others. People in other churches, you ever seen it? People in other families, you seen it? Not ours, obviously. That's why we're preaching on this. Get it before it's too late. Amen? But maybe it's not. Let all bitterness, it starts off, that word bitterness is talking about a poisonous fruit. It starts, and in Hebrews chapter 12, for those of you taking notes, you can read Hebrews chapter 12. After he talks about God disciplining his children, he comes in and he says, and guys, don't ever let a root of bitterness come in because it'll mess everything up, which is what we're told here. Let all bitterness. So I want you to know these first three things are internal. So this is what happens to us in the flesh when we're not walking in the Spirit. This comes into us internally. So if it's internally, do most people see it? Is it manifesting itself? No, it's actually, so once it starts showing up, dude, it's like already full blast going. That's why you need to have some intimate friends. You need to be in Bible study, not because it checks off a box. You need to be in fellowship, a companionship with other believers so you can confide in them and then say, dude, that's a bit. And then you have the guts to tell you, it's a bitter root. You need to get rid of it. Let's pray for you. Let's help you through this. Because, man, if it's a bitter root that you're starting, you probably don't even want to get rid of it yet because it's just a little hairy vine. And you know what? It makes me feel better to feel bad. Anybody here agree with that? Makes me, you know what? I feel justified, and I'm going to punish them the way they punished me, and I'm going to make them pay back what they paid me, and I'm going to put them on my hook. And man, you know, that's where that bitter root stays. I'm not going to show them honor. I'm not going to show them respect. I'm not going to show them affection. I'm not going to give them attention. I'm going to, you know what? I'm mad, and I don't care who knows it. I got this little bitter root. I'm going to be nice to everybody, but not them. That's that little hairy vine starting to grow. Hey, you think I'd have lost my tree this prematurely if I would have caught that little teeny hairy root before it took over my whole yard? Absolutely. Man, I am crying out to you as a pastor of 3 decades. It's worth something, man. I have been pouring into people's lives for 3 decades, and I am telling you, this is the number one thing. I have seen so many beautiful oak trees destroyed by a little hairy vine that somebody feels compelled, that it's owed to them, that I can feel this way and no hold, but I can. Dude, get it out of here. You don't want the result. I'm telling you, you don't. And if you're anywhere in it, hire an arbonist. Is that what got? Yeah, that dude, hire him. Let him cut the root out, dude. Whatever it takes, get rid of it. Let all bitterness, that's where it starts. It starts deep down inside, a feeling of bitterness. I just don't, you know what? I don't feel good. I don't like that situation, and it makes me mad. I'm not criticizing and I'm not belittling your feelings. But what I am telling you, if they don't coincide with the Word of God, you need to get them right. You're wrong. Your feelings are wrong, and God is right. I don't care how you feel, and I'm not being insensitive. I'm saying after 30 years of pastoring, you better get rid of it and put your feelings on a back burner. I'm not Oprah, right? Put your feelings on a back burner because they're going to destroy everything. You know it's true. You've seen it. You've maybe even experienced it, and maybe you're getting ready to experience it again and you don't want to. Maybe you got to go back, way back in your life and get rid of those, because maybe that's what you've been carrying through your whole life, and that's why you're a bitter person. Chances are you didn't stop there, because it's bitterness is just a little root. And guess what? Internally, it turns into wrath. These are internal. Bitterness, wrath, and anger. These are internal. The next three are the manifestations of it. So it starts with a little bitterness, and you're feeling, I don't like this. This is not fair. This is not what I want. And by the way, let me ask you a question. When you yank up a big root, you got a big root in there, and you yank up the big root. What do you got left? God, what do you got left when you yank up a root? A big hole. Yeah. And some of y'all don't want to yank up that root of bitterness. One, because, dude, I'm just going to be empty. That's my identity. That's my victim card. Anytime I want to just call no holds barred, whatever, you know, anytime I want to feel bad, anytime I just don't want, I want to time out on life, I can pull my victim card in this root of bitterness. So I'm not getting rid of it. I'll be missing something. Because when you rip that bitterness out and now you ain't got nothing to complain about, guess what? You got a hole, a big hole. You guys know the answer to this. Who is the only one that you can righteously fill that hole and those holes with? Christ. But here's what I've seen. Here's what I've seen over and over and over again. I've seen people have a hole where they've ripped up that bitterness. They've ripped it out and said, all right, I'm going to start being nice. Okay, I'm going to start not robbing that person or those people or that situation or that church, that relationship, or whatever. I'm going to stop. I'm not going to rob them of the honor due to them. I'm not going to rob them of the affection. I'm not going to rob them of the attention. I'm not going to be a jerk anymore to them. I'm going to be nice. Anybody ever hear, make that decision, turn over a new leaf, say, I'm going to be nice. And so guess what you fill your hole with? You know what you fill your holes with? Sometimes what people fill their holes with are the expectations of that. I expect now that I'm being nice and not being a jerk that everything will be better. I expect, yeah, it will be on your end. I expect them to act a certain way. I expect to get my way. I expect, here's my expectation. And I have now filled the hole where I've ripped the bitterness out and I filled the hole with expectations. And it's like, okay. And then all of a sudden, those expectations don't come to fruition. What happens now when you filled it with your expectations and they don't pan out? Guess what happens? What starts growing? Another root of bitterness with some really good fertilizer, because that's what your expectations are. And you think about that. Think about what we use as fertilizer. And I'm telling you, that's what your expectations are. They're nothing but fertilizer. It ain't about your expectations. It isn't about your life. If you're a believer, you gave your life to who? Christ. So the only thing that will work when you rip out that root of bitterness and you have the holes, you fill it with Christ. And when you fill it with Christ, you know what? It's not about getting what you want. It's wanting what you get. It's realizing He's sovereign Lord. He's God Almighty. He knows everything, can do anything, and He's everywhere. Who better to determine what comes into your life next? How dare you reject and be bitter towards what God's bringing in your life? No, I'm not. It's somebody else that brought it in. It's that business that shut down. It's that government that we have. It's all these different things that have robbed me. No, God Almighty is in total control. Amen? Nobody can mess Him up. Whatever comes in your life is by sovereign, almighty God. And if you're His child, that's what it's there. And you fight and you fight and you fight with by reading Scripture, not by your imagination, not by conversing. You can have some of that, but you got to be in Scripture, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You need to see it in the Word of God that this is by God's design. No matter how horrible you think it is at this point, it is there by God's design to make you more like Him. And then He gets the glory. Amen. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight in Hebrew means to be flexible. And so if all at all times you are delighting in the Lord, you're being flexible. That's like my hand. Here is the mold, the image. Who is he trying to mold you into the image of with everything coming into your life? God to Christ. Here's the mold. And God is putting pressure. And if you are flexible, guess what's going to happen as pressure gets put on your destiny? What's going to happen? You're going to become like what? Like the mold, which is Christ. And you're going to be cool. Look at this. It might not have felt good. It doesn't always feel good, does it, Jack? But he puts the pressure on. And guess what? If you're flexible, look who you become. Christ. But if you are not flexible, I can do this because we broke millions of these. JJ's like, oh, we got to order a cable. No. If you're like this rigid thing, is God say, oh, no, you're too rigid. I'm not going to put pressure on you. How about that, Savannah? You ever been so stubborn and rigid? God said, no, I'm just going to let you be who you are. Yeah, until he really wants to change. So if you're rigid and God continues to put pressure and try to form you into the image of Christ, what's going to happen, Eric? What's going to happen? You're going to break. You ever break? Every one of us have broke under that pressure because we didn't submit. The most dangerous place to be in world, in life, is when God takes his hand off you and does say, yeah, do what you want. But man, if you stay rigid, delight yourself in the Lord. Stay flexible to whatever circumstance he's got. Realize it is the best situation you could be in right now. I don't care whether we're talking about your job, we're talking about a government, we're talking about your family, we're talking about your neighborhood, your condo. I sold my condo. Life is awesome. I am so happy for you. It sounds a lot like condos and boats are the same. Two happiest days in a condo owner's life, day they buy it and day they get rid of it. Is that kind of like boats? Yeah. But yeah, but guess what? The next place, same thing. Anyway, never mind. You live in that joy right now. Whatever it is, it's there by God's design. And when you rip the root of bitterness out, you have a hole. And I'm telling you, what you have to fill it with is God's word. And they can only be able to fill it with God's word when you have faith. Because it's not what you feel, it's not what you want, and it's not logically making sense. But it's God's word. Trust the process. Trust it. That's what it's about. Let all bitterness, man, pull that root out and fill it with God's word, with Christ. Go until you can come to the point where you say, I am grateful that this is in my life. And if you can't, that's part of Philippians chapter 4. He said, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to him. The ones that bring you anxiety. Say, God, why should I be grateful for the situation bringing me anxiety in my life? Go check it out in Philippians 4, verse 5, 6, and 7 in there. You ask God why to be grateful for your situation, he'll tell you. And man, you know what? When you're grateful, everything is what? Yeah, it's great. No, I don't want to. I want to be bitter. Yeah, you want to be bitter until your whole daggum backyard and your whole beautiful tree gets taken down because you got a big, giant, hairy vine surround it all. Yeah, you want to be bitter right now while you think you can handle it because you deserve it and you can feel it and it's inside. No, get rid of it while it's small. Get rid of it while it's small. When God lets you know it's there, get rid of it. So he starts with bitterness. So it starts in, I got a little root of bitterness. Internally, wrath. You know what wrath is? Wrath is now smoldering. It's a little bit of rage. All of a sudden, it's not just a feeling now. It's like, it's not just a feeling, it's now my desires. Ooh, my desire. Ooh, man, you know what? I want to be bitter. I should be bitter. And you'll find friends that'll help you be bitter. How many of y'all know it is not hard to find friends to help you be bitter? Lots of them. Tons of them. Man, Bob, here, I just had this illustration right here, man. Hey, come here, stand up. What would be easier? Oh, no, wait, go sit down. You're a big guy. Come here, Jules. Little old Jules, man. What would be, I'm not going to do anything really crazy. Come here. Hold my hand. All right. She's like, oh, hold my hand. What would be easier, her to drag me down off this chair or me to pull her up? Little peep squeak, pip squeak, Jules. She says, I'm as tall as you. That doesn't matter. I weigh more than you. But all right. But seriously, what would be harder? Me to drag her up or you to drag or her to drag me down? You can find people to drag you down. You can find people to help support your unbiblical position. You can find people. It doesn't make it right. And you're the one who's going to end up having the tree, the beautiful tree that everybody admired. You're the one that's going to have it covered with hairy vines and have to be taken down. And if you don't figure out why that tree got taken down, guess what? You're going to get you another tree. And the same thing's going to happen. And you're just going to blame the hairy vine instead of your unforgiveness problem. There are going to be offenses in this world. You're going to be offended. The more you're with somebody, the more you hang out with them, the more chances they have to offend you. It doesn't make them a bad person. It's you're just around them more. How many of you are more offensive than when somebody met you the first time? You know what I'm saying? You ever met somebody? Oh, they're really cool, man. All right. And then you go hang out with them again and again and again. You're like, dang, I don't really want to be with them no more, man. It's from being around. We're all offensive. Everybody say, I am offensive. Yes. And you're in good company because Paul, you remember what Paul said? I am the chief sinner. The apostle Paul said, I am the head, the worst, the chief of all sinners. Y'all are just a bunch of squaws and whatever. You're just a bunch of Indians. Am I going to get in trouble on the World Wide Web for saying that this day? But anyways, he said, I'm the chief sinner. Let all bitterness, it starts with a little root of bitterness that can be pulled out and the little hole can be filled with scripture, filled with God's love. And he says, but then no, it's going to start smoldering and become now kind of your priority. How many of you have had an issue, a season, a situation, all of a sudden just dominate your life? Thank you for that answer. I know you have, man. Stephen, get out of that demon, man. No, I'm just not talking about it. Seriously, how many of you ever had a situation grow and take over your life? It takes over your feelings. It takes over your thoughts. It's all there. And that's what it's talking about. That wrath starts to smolder inside, and then it turns to anger. How many of y'all ever had that? Inside, you're angry. Inside, you're angry. Your feelings, your desires, your thoughts are dominated by the situation. This root, dude, this root has grown inside you. It's getting thicker and hairier. You ever see an old man who needs nose trimmers? Man, that's just a root of bitterness that's coming out. I'm just saying. And they say it's coming out of my ears. My barber does. I'm just saying, but literally that's what starts happening. All of this is internal. And once this little root, the bitterness starts and you don't deal with it, but you feel justified, it makes me feel better to feel bad. What a stupid thought that I have to tell myself in the mirror a lot. It starts growing. It smolders and starts getting alive. And all of a sudden, now it's anger, it dominates, and now it's going to start coming out of all of your orifices. And look how it comes out. It's all been internal so far, right? You can still get rid of it. You can get rid of it anytime, but the longer you let it go, the harder it's going to be to get rid of it. The more Roundup God's going to have to pour down your throat, the more consequences there will be. So you've got this bitterness now starting to show in clamor. Clamor is just talk. Guess what? Have you ever seen somebody in a root of bitterness? And every time you talk to them now, they're in a season where you already know what subject they're going to bring up. You already know what situation they're going to bring up. All they want to talk about, because that's all that's inside of them now. That's all that's in there. And how many of y'all how many of y'all are looking for bitter people to hang out with? Let's start a bitterness club. There are bitterness clubs called pity parties. But how many of y'all who aren't in that would like, oh, I want to have a bunch of bitter people over for dinner tonight? No, because it's going to dominate. And just like that big hairy root, dude, it's going to take over every plant in my yard. It's going to take over everything. It's going to kill the tree. It's going to kill everything it's around. It's going to destroy it. That's why he says, get rid of it. Let bitterness, wrath, and anger go, because it turns into clamor. That's all I can think about. That's all I can talk about. And then slander, that's even going to the next level. Now you're trashing people who you're bitter with. You're showing them how everybody else, trying to convince them they're as wrong. You got to see them in the same light that I see them. You got to understand how bad they are, because, man, I'm just doing it for Jesus. You need to understand how bad they are, because I don't want you to have to deal with them. You know what? It's not them. It's you. Because you have a forgiveness problem. You're going to be offended in life over and over. Mac, how old are you, bro? All right, that's how old he is. He doesn't even know. Has there ever been a time in your I don't know many years that you have not experienced? You've gone a whole year with nobody offending you. How about a month? How about a day? And you, because you were asleep, right? I'm just saying. Yeah, offenses are here. You got to learn to deal with them. You're never going to be able to escape offenses, especially if around people that you are with a lot. A lot. JJ ever offend you? She ever offend you? Yeah, see? 10 years, dude, of offense. Ah! And if you're not careful, it can be a root of bitterness that builds up and turns into anger. And just because you don't let it out, like extroverted people do, it means you're storing it up inside. How many of y'all know somebody that stored it up inside? And finally it came out. Woo! I'm just saying. Yeah. Let all bitterness, wrath, and clamor, because it turns to slander, clamor, and slander. But look, it even goes deeper. And he says, put those away from you, along with malice. You know what malice is? How many of you, when Stephen and Lori, when we did your wedding, do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? Yes, yes, yes. To have slander and anger and malice. Malice! I'm marrying her for malice. But how many marriages have turned out to be malice? Malice! Go look up the word malice. It's actual physical damage. It's damage to people. It's malice. Go. Does malice even sound good? No. So how important is it, man? He just says that the root of bitterness, man, it's a root that grows poisonous fruit. Is that what you want to be growing in your yard? So the minute you see a hairy vine, what should you do? What should you do? Pull it out and not put it in a little pot on the shelf where now you can admire it and go, you got it as your secret little weapon that you can go to anytime you want to feel better. No! What do you do with this root? You destroy it, because the last thing you want is anybody else to have a piece of it. You want to destroy it, get rid of it. What's that? Yeah. Yeah, get it out of there. So he goes on to tell us that forgiveness is the most Christ-like thing you can do. You understand that? What's the greatest thing Christ ever did for us? Forgave us. The best way, the most valuable way, the most powerful way, the most supernatural way, because you're like, I've tried. Yeah. No, you can't do it. It's a supernatural thing. The most Christ-like supernatural thing you can do is forgive somebody. What better evidence is there in that there is a giant, powerful God living inside of you than when you can forgive somebody? Does that not give more evidence to who God is? Is that not what we're supposed to be doing, is showing the world who God is? And that the biggest thing he's done for us is forgiveness. What's the biggest thing you can do for somebody else? Y'all don't sound very convincing. You're like, dude, I don't like where this is going. I have a root of bitterness towards you. You're like a little hairy vine in my life. Maybe I'm a big hairy vine in your life. This is the truth. And I'm telling you, out of 3 decades of ministry, this is the number one culprit of everything I have ever seen be destroyed. If you can get past this forgiveness, if you can grasp it, if you can allow the Holy Spirit of God to use his power to show you how much you have been forgiven and how much on a daily basis you need to be forgiven, you will find it much easier with his power than to be able to forgive. And as we talked about, forgiveness is not restoration. Forgiveness is just not holding it against them. And we'll talk more about that maybe here in just a second. Look at this verse, last verse. So he says, instead. Okay, what were we just talking about? We're talking about bitterness and wrath and anger. And look what he says here. He said, but you, as a believer, you're supposed to be what? Kind. Do those go in the same sentence as bitterness, wrath, and anger? Can you even twist them to be, yes, well, I'm bitter and wrathful and angry as I'm being kind to you, Andy, because I don't want you to ever have anything to do with that person again, because this is what they're going to do to you. Well, it's one thing to give people wisdom, but it's also another thing to get yourself a little posse and get everybody against somebody. Again, it's not their problem. Some people need to forgive people who are dead. They're still controlling them. You need to forgive people so they don't control you anymore. Now, whether you have them over for dinner, that's a whole nother story. That's restoration. So he says, be kind. How would you describe kind? Matthew, how would you describe kind? Okay, that's it. It can't get much better than that. You know what? When I was looking it up Wednesday, the word kind means mild. It means mild. So here's what I was kind of thinking here. You got some paper right here. So mild. So it's hot. This is kind. This is kind, right? Okay. Not too much, not too little, you know, just a little, you know, what? You get a little. This is kind. You know what would be the opposite of kind is harsh, right? So if this is kind, do you know what unkind is? It's dumping hot sauce in your eyes. Literally. That's what I was just thinking. I asked God, show me what kind, and it was just a breath of fresh air. What's harsh? Harsh is dumping hot sauce in somebody's eyes. How many of y'all would agree dumping hot sauce in somebody's eyes is harsh? How many are like, no, bring it on? No. Literally. How many of y'all ever dumped hot sauce in somebody's eyes? How many of y'all ever got pleasure out of it that made you feel better to punish them? How many of y'all even emotionally have done that? Again, here's what he says. He says, be kind. And who are we to be kind to? Oh, you can't read it. I got to read it for you here. Okay, but look at this. It says, be kind to one another. So one another. How many of y'all are one another? Sam, are you one another? Raise your hand. How many of y'all are one another? Tiny, you're one another. Raise your hand if you're one another. So look at everybody who's got their hand up, and those are people you're supposed to be kind to. Now, the ones that didn't raise their hand, they're not one another, so you don't have to be kind to them. But no, everybody's a one another. We be kind to one another. And that's not just believers, that's everyone. But in context, this is talking about believers. Judy asked me out, we were walking around the island, hey, so you talked about forgiving believers. Are we supposed to forgive unbelievers? Yes, there's tons of evidence in the Bible. How else are we going to witness who Christ is to them if we don't forgive them? But specifically, Paul wrote to believers numerous times to say, how dare you not forgive? It's an oxymoron to be a Christian and not forgive because you've received such great forgiveness. So he says, be kind to one another. Be kind. Be nice. Matthew, how do you describe kind again? Kind. How many of y'all say, I just don't know what kind is? Help. I don't know what kind is. No, you know what kind is. You're a breath of fresh air. You're refreshing to them. Quit dumping hot sauce in people's eyes, man. You know you've done that. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted as opposed to what-hearted? Hard-hearted. What's hard-hearted? You know what hard-hearted is? Hard-hearted is stubborn. This is what I deserve. This is what I want. I can keep my root if I want it. And you know what? I just feel this way right now, and this is what I want to do, and this is nobody's going to stop me. I pity you, especially based on the Word of God we're studying right now. This is a warning to every single one of us. There's going to be offenses, and we can either let it make our heart soft or make it hard. God wants it soft. He says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted. Oh, the next word, forgiving one another. What is necessary for you to have to forgive somebody? They have had to do what? Offend you. That's it. If somebody offends you, you have to forgive them. Forgiveness doesn't mean forget. It doesn't mean that your relationship is just like it was before they did it. That's restoration. What forgiveness is you're not holding the debt against them. Imagine you made a business deal with somebody and all of a sudden, man, they're like, I can't pay, or I'm not going to pay. You know what? I can pay, but I ain't paying because I don't like the deal and blah, 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 I'm not paying. Guess what? When you say, all right, you don't have to pay, what is that called? What'd you just do with their debt? You forgave it. Now, once you forgive that business debt, businessmen, once you forgive it, now, do you bring it up again? Every time you see them, hey, you owe me this money. If you keep asking them for the money that they owed you, did you ever forgive the debt? No. So don't tell me you forgave somebody and you keep bringing it up. If you did, you got to keep forgiving and keep forgiving and keep forgiving, because a forgiven debt is one that's not brought up again. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you have to do business with that person ever again? No. Would it be awesome to do business if you can reconcile? That would be the beautiful picture, especially if they're a believer. Oh, let's get together and we're going to put this in place so that I understand, you understand, and this situation won't happen again, the best of our abilities. Then you've reconciled, and now you can actually do business again. But are there people that you can't do business with again? Absolutely. But you can't have smoke coming out of your nostrils and ears every time you see their truck go by. Every time you see them in your head, you got to forgive them again. Forgiveness and restoration, different things, but all that's required for you to forgive somebody is they wronged you. Corrie Ten Boom, I told you last week, we talked about it, the prison, the whole prison deal. She said, and a number of people probably said this, but this bitterness, this unforgiveness is you drinking poison thinking you're going to kill the other person. Unforgiveness puts you in prison. And you have the ability to bust out of prison. You just have to forgive. You have to ask God, give me the desire to love them and forgive them. And when God gives you that desire, say, God, now give me the ability to actually go do it. And then God, give me the grace to actually go do it. And go do it. Go do it. Complete the process. And that's for who? Just believers? Unbelievers? Is it for everybody? Everybody who offends you. How many of y'all ever been forgiven? I mean, how many of y'all ever been offended? Yeah. You've been offended, so you got somebody to forgive. And even though you put it away and you think it's not there, you know, that little hairy vine was growing a long time before I noticed it destroying my entire yard. And once I noticed it destroying my entire yard, it was almost an insurmountable task to get rid of that thing. And I had to actually get the tree cut down. I'd hate for you to lose what you have right now over a little teeny hairy vine that you can solve by recognizing the sovereignty of God and that God is good. God is good all the time. So why you got a little hairy root hanging out inside you? Why you got a little hairy root if that's true? He said, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. That's why he says forgiveness starts by you saying, Holy Spirit, show me what it is that I need forgiveness from. Show me people that I have offended today. Show me people that I have offended that I need to go to and talk to and ask for forgiveness. God, show me where I've offended you today. Show me where I've grieved you. How many of y'all have spent time like that with God? Most people don't, because they don't want to hear that. They would rather bellyache to God about all the people that need to forgive them because they've offended them instead of you. It starts with you. Again, I'll bring this up. Scott, you ever mess up at your house? You're the big cocky boulder. Oh, I'm the guy. But when you mess up at the house, are you like throwing your cocky weight around to Erica anymore and your kids? No, you're humble. You're humble in the house. You're like, okay, hey, y'all want me to make you some, how do you call that, Wagyu beef, man? What's it? I always mispronounce it. Yeah, that beef, man. That big fat. You want me to make this? You want me to, you're looking to appease people when you've realized you're guilty. Human nature, but superhuman nature. Christian nature. Man, when we realize what we've been forgiven of, we want to do nothing but serve other people instead of demand justice from them. Get them off of your hook. It's too much work for you. Put them on God's hook. You believe God's big enough to take care of them on the hook and give them what they need? Get them off your hook, because you're not, and it's wearing you out. You may think you're all smiley face. You may think you're all this. You may think you got it all covered up. But dude, all I'm saying is you got big hairy vines coming out of every orifice in your body, and everybody who sees you, man, they're ready to break out a weed heater. Some of them are ready to break out a bush hog on you because you just live such a bitter life and you have so gotten used to that bitterness that it doesn't even faze you anymore, but it fazes everybody around you. And we all have seasons like that. So go to the Holy Spirit in that prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive me my sins as I forgive those who sin against me. Start with you. That's what we're supposed to do before that root grows. Man, you remember that oak tree? How nice it used to block the west sun coming into the house. It was a beautiful tree, man. The critters running around. It was gorgeous. It's two half-burnt stumps, and only because I just couldn't do a good enough job with the gas. But we're going to get it. Two half-burnt stumps, man. It's not even a little bit of its former glory. All because of a little hairy vine that got out of hand. Don't let that happen in your life. Father, I'm coming in the name of Jesus, and I know that's the only way I can come to you. On my worst day as well as my best day, whether I have just a little hairy vine, whether I have anger raging inside and it's getting ready to come out and people want to break out the weed eater and the bush hog to get rid of all of the malice that's coming out of me that started as a hairy little vine. I can still come to you in the name of Jesus because I'm accepted by you because of what Jesus did. His perfection still covers every one of us that have that bitterness. But Father, as long as we try to solve things in our flesh, and we don't want to be changed, we want to hold on to it, and we want to pack those holes with wrong things, Father, I pray we would surrender all to you, knowing you're big enough, you're powerful enough, you're smart enough, you're everywhere, and you can solve this for us. Help us to take even ourselves off our own hook and put ourselves on your hook. Help us to totally surrender it all and realize in your sovereignty, every single thing that came into our life from the time we were born to the time we die is by your design. It wasn't all good, but we understand from Scripture that it all works together for good to make us more like you and help others see life from your perspective. Father, as Paul started, we are sealed, guaranteed. We have a home in heaven. Nobody can change that. And we're all going to be there soon, relatively speaking. Help us not get caught up in the junk here, but help us truly focus on you and representing you. Father, forgive us our sins as we walk through life with you, so we'll be able to forgive others. And I pray for these things in Jesus' name.